Welcome back. Today we're diving deep into ensemble music practice.
Oh, cool.
And we're going to be looking at this presentation called Méthode Latihan.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like kind of a roadmap to how to get that magical harmony that you hear when a bunch of musicians are really gelling.
Yeah.
And I think you sent me this one. So
I did.
I'm excited to see how they approach it, you know, going from individual notes into this symphony of sound.
Well, and what I think is fascinating about this is how they're trying to teach both individual growth as a musician, but also the unity of sound.
Exactly.
It's a delicate dance. I'm curious to see how they guide people to that.
You've hit the nail on the head. It's like a musical balancing act.
Yeah.
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah.
So the Méthode Latihan, it's a structured approach to practice.
Okay.
And they cover everything from like warming up to tackling these like complex theoretical concepts.
Yeah.
But all with the aim of like creating this beautiful music together.
Yeah.
And what's cool is they've got practical exercises along the way.
Right. It's like a blueprint.
Yeah, exactly.
To get to that brilliance.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So to start off, they divide this ensemble coaching session into two main parts.
Okay.
You've got warm up and then you've got like the real meat of it, theory and practice.
Got it.
And it's interesting that they really highlight this warm-up section.
Right, because it sounds like what they're saying is that that's just as important as the actual rehearsal.
Absolutely.
Interesting.
And it's not just about warming up your fingers or your vocal cords or whatever.
Right.
They have a two-pronged approach.
Okay.
So first you have individual warm-ups where each musician kind of addresses their own needs.
Right.
And then you shift to ensemble warm-ups.
Got it.
Where the focus is on synchronizing things like breathing tone and balance.
Ah, so they're laying that groundwork for that unified sound.
Exactly.
Right from the start.
Right from the get-go.
Makes sense.
And I think you're right about the breathing. Like that's
that's the foundation of any musical phrase.
Absolutely.
If everyone's breath is aligned, it just creates this shared energy.
That's huge,
Good flow.
And tone, too.
Yeah.
Imagine an ensemble where everyone's instrument is slightly out of tune with each other.
Right.
It would just be
a mess.
Yeah, chaotic.
Yeah.
So during that ensemble warm-up, they really focus on blending those individual turns into this unified sound.
I see.
So it's not just about each person being perfect on their own.
Yeah.
It's about how they all fit together.
And how they all work.
Exactly.
Well,
and balance is crucial too.
Yeah.
It's about making sure each instrument can be heard clearly, but without overpowering the others.
Right.
It's like a conversation where everyone gets
It's like you can hear everyone's voice.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So now let's tune in to like the heart of ensemble practice, where those individual voices merge into this symphony of sound, this ensemble theory and practice section.
Okay.
And they break it down into four key elements.
Okay.
Rhythm, tuning, articulation, and dynamics.
Got it.
Kind of like the pillars of any good.
And like we were saying before, mastering each of those individually is only half the battle.
Totally.
The real deal is when you apply them together to create that unified sound.
Yeah. How they all play together.
Yeah.
So first up, let's talk about rhythm.
Okay.
They emphasize that like synchronized starting and stopping is like the heartbeat of the music. It keeps everyone in sync.
Right.
And it creates that pulse that drives the performance forward.
I see.
And they even have these visual examples.
Oh, cool. So instead of just saying, stay together, they're giving you a visual representation of what that means.
Exactly. Yep. So you can see how all the notes line up at their start and stop points.
I like that.
Yeah, even if they're different lengths.
Yeah.
And then they talk about staccato,
which
is those short detached notes, same start, stop principle.
Right.
But the execution is different, so it creates a totally different sound.
Right, like adding punctuation to
the music. I love that.
Yeah.
So you've got these staccato notes, which create a sense of separation and emphasis.
Right.
And then you've got those longer sustained notes.
Yeah.
That provides a smoother flow.
That's cool.
Yeah, and the interplay between the two is what creates those like dynamic shifts in energy and texture.
I like it.
So next up, we have pitch tuning.
Okay.
All about making sure everyone's playing the right notes.
Mm-hmm.
And that the overall sound is unified.
Right.
And they really emphasize the importance of achieving unison.
Yes.
Which is all instruments playing the same note in perfect harmony.
That's the holy grail.
It is.
Of ensemble playing.
It is. It takes so much coordination and listening.
Yeah. You have to be aware of not only your pitch, but also how it's blending with everyone else.
Yeah, you have to be listening to the whole group, not just yourself.
Totally.
To develop that precision in tuning, they recommend practicing with long notes, staccato, which are those short bursts we talked about, and tangonada, which is the Indonesian term for scales.
Interesting. Yeah. It's cool to see that in Indonesian influence. Yeah. It really shows that music is a universal language.
It does.
And that these practices transcend cultural boundaries.
Totally.
Yeah.
So long notes give you a chance to really hone in on your pitch. And staccato helps refine the attack of each note.
Got it.
Make sure you're hitting the target cleanly every time.
Yeah.
And then scales are like the building blocks of melody.
Right.
So practicing them reinforces the intervals between notes.
Mm.
And it makes sure that your tuning is consistent across a wider range.
It's like a musical workout for your
ears
and your fingers.
It is.
Yeah.
So now let's move on to chords.
Okay.
The harmony heroes of the music world.
Right.
They explain that a basic chord has three notes. And that there are two main types, major and minor.
Okay.
So major chords use the notes D-O-M-I-S-O-L, while minor chords use L-A-D-O-M-I.
Got it.
And they represent those also using Roman numerals.
Mm-hmm.
So major is I-3-V.
Okay.
And minor is I-6-3-1-V-3.
Using both of those systems is helpful for understanding how they're built and how they function within a scale.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you've got the note names, which are concrete.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got the Roman numerals, which show the...
the relationship.
Yeah, the underlying relationships between the chords.
Yeah.
And they even provide diagrams of these chords on the musical staff.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so you can see how the notes are arranged.
I like that.
Yeah. And with the minor chord,
they
really emphasize the importance of that third note.
Yeah, because that's what makes a minor chord sound different from a major.
It does.
A minor chord, that third is
lowered,
which gives it that darker, sadder quality compared to the major.
Exactly. Yeah. And they show that visually, too, in the diagram.
Nice.
Yeah.
I like it.
It's amazing how one little note can change the whole feeling of the music.
It really is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like they're saying, pay attention to the details.
Right.
To make all the difference.
Yeah.
And when it comes to tuning chords, they recommend starting with VO.
Okay.
Then tuning SOL.
Uh-huh.
And finally, MI.
That sequence makes sense.
Yeah.
Musically.
It does.
Yeah, because you start with the root note DL, which establishes like a foundation, like setting the cornerstone for a building.
Yeah.
Then tuning the fifth SOL adds that strong resonant interval.
Yeah.
Think of it as the supporting beat.
Yeah.
And then finally, tuning the third MI is crucial because that determines whether it's major or minor.
Right. It sets the emotional color of the chord.
Right. Whether it's bright and cheerful major or a bit more melancholic minor.
I love that.
Yeah.
It's like each note has a specific role to play in building that overall harmony.
Yeah.
And just like with tuning individual notes, they suggest practicing chords as long notes, holding them out, and staccato those short, crisp bursts.
Right, to develop accuracy and expressiveness in your chord voicing.
It's all about finding that balance between precision and musicality.
You need both
to
create something really compelling.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay, now back to our friend tangonada, or scales.
Okay.
They explain that a scale is like a musical ladder. It's a series of seven notes played in order either going up or down. And each note in the scale has a corresponding chord quality.
Oh, wow.
So whether it's major, minor, or diminished.
So this is connecting scales and chords.
Exactly.
That's really cool.
So the scales provide the melodic framework.
Right.
While the chords built upon those scale degrees
provide
the harmonic foundation.
It's like they're two sides of the same.
They are. Like, exactly.
Yeah.
And to practice scales, they have this sequence laid out.
Okay.
IVIV, followed by IVI.
So playing them in different orders like this, is that about training your ear for the intervals and improving your overall intonation? It's like learning to speak a new language.
Yeah.
By practicing different scales and sequences, you develop fluency in music.
Yeah.
So you can understand and perform more complex pieces.
And it makes your ears and fingers stronger and more flexible.
It's a musical workout.
It is.
Yeah.
Okay, last but not least, we have articulation and dynamics.
Okay.
Or as they put it in the presentation, articulasi dan dinamika.
So now we're getting into nuance and expression.
Yes.
So articulation is how you play the notes,
whether
they're detached, connected, accented.
Mm-hmm.
And then dynamics refers to the volume
Exactly.
of the music.
Yeah.
So these add depth and motion to the performance.
It's like they're giving us a masterclass in musical storytelling.
Right.
So articulation is like the punctuation of music. It's
yeah.
those subtle nuances mm-hmm. that shape the phrasing and create different emotional effects.
Think about how a single sentence can convey a range of emotions.
Absolutely.
Depending on how it's spoken.
Oh, yeah.
So you could say, I love this music.
Yeah.
With excitement or with sarcasm or with quiet contemplation.
Yeah.
So articulation does the same thing.
I love that. It yeah. really makes it come to life.
Yeah.
So you've got staccato, those short detached notes, mm-hmm. which would create a more energetic,
right.
punctuated feel.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got legato.
Yeah.
Which is a smoother, more connected style of playing.
Right.
Which would create a more lyrical and flowing
Precisely.
Sound.
Yeah.
And just like with rhythm,
mm-hmm.
consistency and articulation across yeah. the ensemble is crucial.
Yeah. Everyone has to be on the same page.
Yeah.
Stylistically.
It can't be one person playing smooth and one person playing right. staccato.
It's going to sound like a mess.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So then we have dynamics.
Okay.
The volume control of music.
Yeah.
They mentioned piano for soft uh-huh. and forte for loud.
Okay.
It's amazing how such a simple element
right.
can have such a dramatic impact on the mood.
Yeah, like light and shadow
yeah.
in a painting.
Exactly.
Dynamics create contrast and depth, and
yeah.
they bring the music to life.
And think about a sudden shift from piano to forte
right.
that can evoke feelings of excitement or urgency.
Totally.
And then a gradual crescendo can build tension and anticipation.
It's like they're telling a story.
They are.
Without words. Yeah.
It's like they're painting a picture with sound.
Exactly.
And in an ensemble setting,
mm-hmm.
dynamics take on even greater significance.
Right.
Because each musician has to be aware of not only their own volume,
mm.
but how their part fits into the overall balance of the group.
Right. You can't have one instrument too loud because then it drowns everyone else out.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you lose the intended effect.
Yeah.
So it all comes back to listening to each other.
Right.
And adjusting your playing
mm-hmm.
to create that harmonious whole.
It all comes back to that.
It does, just yeah. like with the tone and the balance and the warm-up.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's this delicate dance
mm-hmm.
between individual expression and collective sensitivity.
Beautiful.
Wow, we've covered a lot of ground in this first part of our deep dive.
We have.
It feels like we've already gotten this glimpse
yeah.
into the inner workings of this well-oiled
yeah.
musical machine.
It does.
But before we move on to the next part, what are your initial thoughts on what we've seen so far?
What's really striking me is how much they emphasize balance.
Yes.
You know, we've talked about balance between individual development and ensemble unity.
Yeah.
Balance between technical precision and artistic expression.
Yeah.
Even balance between like the different elements, like
yes.
rhythm and dynamics. It's about finding that sweet spot.
It is.
Where everything works together harmoniously.
And it's not just a musical concept. It's a
right.
life lesson.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Striving for that balance in all aspects of our lives can lead to
I think so.
Greater fulfillment and success.
For sure.
But we've only just scratched the surface here.
We have. There's still so much more to discover.
Totally.
In the next part.
There's so much more to uncover in this méthode Latihan.
Yeah.
And we've also got those closing reminders about Latihan Ensemble.
Right.
And that thought-provoking question about applying all this stuff to other areas of life.
Yeah. Can't wait to dig into all that.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
So stay tuned, folks. We're just getting started.
It's really cool how this méthode Latihan goes deep into the nuts and bolts of ensemble practice.
It does.
You know, like beyond just hitting the right notes at the right time.
Yeah.
It's about creating this unified and expressive sound.
Right.
It's yeah. like taking these individual voices and weaving them together into this
yeah.
beautiful whole tapestry of sound.
It's like they're giving us this like backstage pass
right.
to the inner workings of this well-oiled musical machine.
Exactly. And so to continue our exploration,
yeah.
let's rewind to that crucial first step.
Okay.
The warm-up.
The warm-up.
Remember, they really emphasize both individual and ensemble warm-ups.
They do.
They say you need each musician to prepare themselves.
Right.
But also synchronize with the group.
Right.
It's like tuning an instrument before you start playing.
Exactly.
You want each part to be in its best possible condition
right.
before you bring them all together.
And remember, they specifically mentioned breathing tone and balance.
Yeah.
as being key elements of the ensemble warm-up.
It's about getting everyone on the same page
before
they even start playing together.
It's like a sports team.
Yeah.
Doing their pregame stretches and drills.
Exactly.
You know, preparing their bodies and minds for peak performance.
Yeah, building that sense of unity and shared purpose.
Totally.
That's so essential for success.
Okay, so once everyone is warmed up and ready to go, the presentation dives into the nitty-gritty of ensemble playing.
Right.
And it breaks it down into those four key elements.
Yes.
Rhythm, tuning, articulation, and dynamics.
And remember, those elements aren't just isolated concepts.
Right.
They're all interwoven.
They are.
You know, each one influencing the others.
They are, yeah.
To create the overall musical tapestry.
It's like ingredients in a recipe.
Yes.
You need the right proportions of each one.
Exactly.
To create a dish that is both delicious and well-balanced.
And the presentation gives you a clear roadmap for mastering each element.
It does.
Starting with rhythm.
Rhythm.
Remember, they emphasize synchronized, starting and stopping.
Yes.
And they use those visual musical examples.
Yes.
To really illustrate that.
I love those examples. They really bring it to life.
They do.
You can see how, like, even slight variations in timing can disrupt the flow and create this really disjointed sound.
Precision is key in ensemble playing.
It is.
And rhythm is the foundation upon which everything else is built.
It's like the foundation of a house.
Exactly.
If it's not solid, the whole structure is going to be unstable.
And it's not just about playing the right notes at the right time.
Right.
It's also about how those notes are played.
Yes.
Which brings us to articulation.
Articulation.
It's like the punctuation of music.
Oh, I love that.
It adds nuance and expression.
Yes.
It shapes the phrases. And it creates all these different emotional effects. Think about how a single sentence can convey so many different emotions.
Totally.
Depending on how it's spoken.
It can.
Right? Yeah. You can say it with emphasis, with pauses, with variations in tone.
Yeah.
Well, articulation in music achieves that same effect.
I love that analogy.
Yeah.
It really brings it to life.
It does. And it's those tiny little details in articulation that give the music its personality and soul.
It does.
And just like with rhythm, consistency in articulation across the ensemble is crucial.
It is.
Everyone needs to be on the same page stylistically.
Totally.
To create that unified sound.
Yeah. If one musician is playing smoothly and another one is playing staccato.
Right.
It's going to sound...
It's going to create a sense of disunity.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then there's dynamics.
Dynamics.
The volume control of music.
Yes.
They mentioned piano for soft.
Uh-huh.
And forte for loud.
Okay.
It's amazing how something as simple as volume can have such a dramatic impact.
It is.
On the mood and feel of a piece.
It's like light and shadow in a painting.
Yes.
Dynamics create contrast and depth.
They do.
They bring the music to life.
I love that analogy.
Yeah, a sudden shift from piano to forte can evoke feelings of excitement or urgency.
Absolutely.
While a gradual crescendo
can
build tension and anticipation.
It's like the composer is telling a story without words.
Exactly.
He's painting a picture with sound.
And in an ensemble setting, dynamics take on this even greater significance.
They do, because each musician has to be aware of not only their own volume, but also...
Yeah, how their part fits into the overall balance.
Exactly. So it's about listening to each other and adjusting your playing to create this harmonious whole.
It all comes back to that, doesn't it?
It does.
Yeah.
It always comes back to that.
It's this delicate dance between individual expression and collective sensitivity.
It is. It's that beautiful balance.
Okay, so we talked about rhythm, articulation, and dynamics.
Yes.
What about tuning?
Yes.
That seems like a pretty crucial element.
It is.
For any ensemble.
Absolutely.
The presentation emphasizes the importance of unison.
Yeah.
Which is all instruments playing the same note in perfect harmony.
Yeah.
And they recommend practicing with long notes, staccato notes, and scales to develop that precision in tuning.
Hey, remember, they mentioned tongganada.
Yes.
Which means scales in Indonesian.
Right.
It's just this cool reminder that music is this universal language.
It is.
You know, and these techniques are used by musicians all over the world.
It speaks to the shared human experience of creating and appreciating music.
Yeah.
Regardless of cultural boundaries.
I love that.
Yeah.
Now let's talk about chords.
Chords.
Those harmonic building blocks that add depth and complexity to music.
They break down the basic structure of major and minor chords.
They do.
Using both note names.
Yeah.
Do Am I Sol for major, and La Do Am I for minor, and Roman numerals.
Yes.
I3V for major.
Right.
And I6-1B3 for minor.
It's cool that they use both systems of notation.
Yeah, it's helpful for understanding the theory behind it all.
Yeah. So you've got the note names, which provide that concrete reference point. And then you've got the Roman numerals, which highlight
the relationships.
Yeah, the chords relationships within a scale.
Within a scale, exactly.
And they even provide those visual diagrams.
Yes, they do.
Of the chords on the musical staff.
It's like a cheat sheet.
It is.
For understanding how these chords are formed.
And remember how they emphasize the importance of that third note
in
a minor chord?
That lowered third is what gives the minor chord that darker, sadder quality.
It does.
Right, compared to the major chord.
Yeah.
It's a subtle but powerful difference.
It is.
That really highlights the expressive potential of harmony.
You change one note and it changes the whole.
Right. Even a single note alteration can dramatically change the emotional impact.
Totally.
It's like changing one word in a sentence.
Yes.
It can completely alter the meaning.
It can.
And when it comes to tuning chords, they recommend a specific sequence.
They do.
Start with the root note DO.
Yeah.
Then tune the fifth SOL.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, the third MI.
Makes sense.
Right.
Start with the foundation, then add that strong resonant interval. And then the third determines whether it's major or minor.
Exactly.
It's a really systematic approach.
It is.
That ensures accuracy and consistency.
Yeah, across the whole ensemble.
Yeah.
And just like with individual notes, they suggest practicing chords with both long notes and staccato notes.
They do.
To develop both precision and expressiveness.
Yeah.
It's a comprehensive approach.
It is.
That addresses both the technical and artistic aspects of chord voicing.
Now back to those scales.
Scale.
Remember tangonata?
Yes, tangonata.
They explain that a scale is a series of seven notes.
Right.
Played in order either ascending or descending. And each note in the scale has a corresponding chord quality.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Major, minor, or diminished?
So it's connecting melody and harmony.
It is.
The scales provide the framework for melodic movement.
Right.
While the chords built upon those scale degrees provide that harmonic foundation.
To practice scales, they give you a specific sequence. IVIFE, followed by IVI.
Yeah, playing the same scale in different orders like this is all about training your ear for those intervals.
It is.
And improving your overall intonation.
It helps you become more attuned to the relationships between the notes and their corresponding chords.
It's like doing a musical workout.
It is.
For your ears and your fingers.
Exactly. And the benefits go beyond just technical proficiency. It helps you develop this deeper understanding of musical structure.
Yeah.
And it enhances your ability to improvise and compose.
It does.
So as we wrap up this part of our deep dive, let's take a step back and consider the bigger picture.
Okay.
What are some of the key insights we've gained?
Yeah.
About the Mitchell-Laudlatian.
Yeah.
And its approach to ensemble practice.
What stands out to me is this emphasis on balance.
Yes.
You know, the balance between individual development and ensemble unity.
Yes.
The balance between technical precision and artistic expression.
It's not about sacrificing one for the other.
Right.
It's about finding this harmonious integration of both.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's like they're saying, be the best musician you can be, but always remember, you're part of something bigger.
And that's a message that goes way beyond.
It does. Like, it really does.
Yeah.
It speaks to the importance of collaboration and communication and shared purpose.
In any endeavor.
Yeah. Whether we're musicians or athletes.
Right.
Or just individuals navigating the complexities of life.
The principles of the Mitchell-Laudlatian can offer valuable guidance.
They can.
But before we get too philosophical.
Right.
Let's remember that this is just part two.
Part two.
Of our three-part deep dive.
Yes.
We still have more to explore.
We do.
Including those closing reminders about Laudlatian ensembles.
Yes.
And that thought-provoking question about applying these principles to other areas of life.
Yes. We've only just begun to scratch the surface.
Exactly.
Of this fascinating topic.
There's much more to uncover.
There is.
In the next part of our deep dive.
So stay tuned, folks. The harmony's just getting started. Welcome back to our deep dive into ensemble music practice.
It's been a journey.
It has.
Exploring this Mitchell-Laudlatian.
This roadmap to harmony.
Yes.
And we've uncovered some really fascinating stuff.
We have, from turning and articulation to that emphasis on balance between the individual and the group.
Yeah, between individual growth and collective unity.
I think we're ready to dive into the final movement of our exploration.
Okay, let's do it.
Those closing reminders about
Latihan Ensemble.
Latihan Ensemble.
Which is ensemble practice.
Exactly. So they reiterate those two main focuses.
Right.
Individual needs and ensemble unity.
It's all about that balance.
It is. They say musicians should continue to hone their individual skills, but always with the goal of achieving that synchronized and balanced ensemble sound.
It's a nice reminder that, you know, while individual growth is important, it's that synergy between the individual voices.
That creates something truly special.
That creates the magic.
It does.
And it makes me think about, you know, this applies to so much more than just music.
Absolutely. Think about any successful team.
Yeah.
Whether it's a sports team, a business team.
A family.
Even a family working together.
You need that balance.
Each individual needs to develop their strengths. Mm-hmm. Contribute their unique talents.
Yeah.
But the ability to work together harmoniously.
That's what makes or breaks it.
That's what determines the ultimate success.
Now, before we wrap up, I want to go back to that question we posed earlier.
Okay.
About how can we apply these principles of ensemble practice to other areas of life?
That's where the rubber meets the road.
Yeah.
Because the principles of structured practice, individual development, and collective harmony.
Right.
They're applicable to anything that involves teamwork and collaboration.
We're talking sports teams,
yeah,
business projects, community organizations.
Even families.
Families, everything.
Imagine applying the concept of a warm-up to a work meeting.
Okay.
Instead of jumping right into the agenda, you start with a brief activity designed to get everyone on the same page, energized and focused.
It's like setting the tone.
Exactly.
For productive collaboration.
Instead of just diving in, you take a moment to connect as a team.
Yeah.
And align your energies.
I love that.
And just like in music where each instrument has its own unique role.
Yeah.
In a work team.
Mm-hmm.
Each individual brings their own set of skills and perspectives.
And the Masu's Lenihan encourages us to recognize and value those individual strengths while working towards that shared goal.
It's not about everyone being the same or trying to fit into a mold.
It's about embracing that diversity.
It is.
And how those differences can actually work together to create something stronger.
Absolutely. And remember, articulation and dynamics.
Yeah.
They have their parallels in the workplace, too.
How so?
Well, clear communication, active listening,
uh-huh,
shared understanding of goals and expectations.
Mm-hmm.
Those are essential for a harmonious and productive work environment.
It's like everyone needs to be playing from the same sheet music.
Exactly. And just as a conductor guides an orchestra,
yes,
a strong leader can keep everyone on track.
Yes.
And make sure that everyone's efforts are aligned.
It's bringing it all together.
It is. And just as a musical performance needs both technical precision and emotional expression, a successful work project needs that balance of analytical thinking and creative problem solving.
Yeah. The head and the heart.
Exactly.
Of logic and the intuition.
Ultimately, the Metoda Lenihan reminds us that by working together harmoniously, we can achieve results that are way beyond
so much more
what any individual could do alone.
It's the power of the collective.
It is. This has been a real symphony of insights.
It is.
You know, we've explored not just the technical aspects of music, but the deeper human lessons.
The human elements.
Yeah, about teamwork, collaboration, and the pursuit of harmony.
And as we bring this episode to a close, I want to leave our listeners with a challenge.
Okay.
Think about those areas in your life where collaboration is key.
Right.
Your work, your family, your community.
Mm-hmm.
And consider how the principles of the Metoda Lenihan might be applied.
To strengthen those bonds and achieve greater results.
It's an invitation to see the world through this musical lens.
It is.
And maybe discover some hidden harmonies that connect us all.
Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for listening.